Let's begin.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, good morning, and it is, in fact, a special, special edition of the Boss and the Gloss.
We in Miami.
It is fantastic to be here on Radio Row with you, the Gloss, and it is fun to have both Ron and Jose participating in the show. Welcome in, everybody.
Good to be here. We're in Miami Beach. We've met all kind of people, didn't we?
Well, we did meet a few people out on the streets last night, roaming around in the town.
Following us. It was super interesting.
You made some new friends out there.
I did. Some friends I maybe didn't want to make, but here we go.
But here we sit in Radio Row, and it is fun just to look around. There's a buzz in the building. I just saw Dan Marino walking across, and Dan casts a long shadow. He is a big figure. When you see him, he looks great.
Yeah.
Moves well. Then Lee Steinberg's roaming around, and of course,
just saw Mark Ingram.
Well, and he feels great because Lee has signed Tua Tagovailoa. In addition to, he's got Patrick Holmes in his fold, so the super agent to the quarterbacks is back on top again.
He is back.
He has really done well for himself, and we've got an extraordinary roster coming up. We're going to get to visit with a variety of folks. Mike Rizzo, the Washington Nationals general manager, will sit down with us next segment, and it really will be fun to talk to him about his offseason.
Oh, my gosh. He brought the first World Series championship to that franchise. He's got a lot to talk about.
Great credit to him, and he was with them for a long time and took care of Strasburg's career, and it sure paid dividends this season.
I mean, he was the one who decided to bench him in 2012 after the Tommy John surgery, which was controversial, and look at him now.
And then we'll have
all the way to the trophy.
Busy Phillips joining us, and Busy is a star on several shows. Freaks and Geeks is the one I've seen her on.
Freaks and Geeks, yeah.
Freaks and Geeks, and she's going to be great. She will join us. She's a football fan, apparently, and we will hear from her on her
Dawson's
outlook.
Dawson's Creek is my personal favorite.
Dawson's Creek is the one you love her on.
That's right.
We'll have Jay Glazer from Fox Sports. He's going to be special. And then Carson Palmer, a former USC quarterback.
Yes, Heisman, Trojan. Bring it on.
All that. It'll be Mike Rizzo when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are broadcasting live from Radio Row. Carla Dawson next to me. You survived your first night in Miami last night.
I did, thanks to you. Glad you were by my side for a little bit of the sketchy moments.
Well,
there.
It was intriguing. We were out on the streets roaming around, and people started following the Gloss, which doesn't surprise me. It happens to you all the time. But they wanted to see where you were headed. There was a high level of curiosity.
I think they were curious because I clearly had not manscaped. Y'all are going to have some splaining to do. I don't know what all this talk of manscaping is, but it's all over Radio.
You are the one person on our set today who may not need the manscape. Everybody else does. We all know all men need manscaping.
Whoa.
And so we'll leave you out of that one.
Thank you. I'll take it. I'll be on the outside there.
I will say that when you think about Super Bowl week, you know, last year, well, by the time you get to Radio Row, usually all the storylines have been talked about and hashed about for so long. This year feels a little different because most of the news the last few weeks have been Kobe Bryant. And so he's sort of consumed the media attention for all the right reasons. And it feels like we're just wading into the Super Bowl stories. But we are treated now to Mike Rizzo.
This is the best.
We're going to take a pause from Super Bowl talk. We're going to talk a little baseball. With Mike Rizzo, he is the general manager and the president of baseball operations for the Washington Nationals, the world champion Washington Nationals.
Yes.
Congratulations on that extraordinary year.
Thank you. That has a great ring to it, too. I like when people say that to me.
I think it works. You wear it well.
Thank you.
You brought your franchise their first World Series title. What does that mean to you, Mike? That's amazing.
Well, it personally means a great deal to me, but it means even more to the DMV. You know, the fan base of Washington D.C. has been starving for a championship for a long time. You know, we lost baseball there in D.C. for about 36
right.
years or so when they moved out of Washington the first time. But we're the area is so excited about you know the season, the way we want it, the fact that we want it, and we couldn't be happier to have brought that to the DMV of the Washington area.
I mean, one of the observations about that team was it was built from the top of the rotation, and you now we're in an era where people are going to bullpens quickly and having openers, and they're but you guys did it the old school way with that extraordinary foursome really at the top there when you include Sanchez. Was that intentional, or did that just those pieces come together?
Well, it was intentional. That was the blueprint we had going into this thing. I'd learned a long time ago that when you have a starting rotation, anything is possible, and until you do have one, nothing's possible.
Yep.
So, we're a pitching first organization. You know, we feel that we like to put a pitcher on the middle of the mound to give us a chance to win each and every day, and that's kind of the way that we built our roster. We have our big four starting pitchers. We've got Cy Young Award winners, we've got all-stars, we've got great contributors, and then you build it around them, and they take you deep into the games, and when you can give them the ball and say take us to the promised land, and they did this year.
Mike, tell us about in 2012 you made a bold decision to shut down Steven Strasburg after his Tommy John surgery. Looking now, you've got an MVP of the World Series in Strasburg, just signed him to a new deal. Talk about that decision and how you feel that is. Was it tough at the time, and then obviously how it's played out for you?
It was difficult at the time, of course. But it wasn't the first time we've done it. That was the way we handled. That was our post Tommy John protocol for all of our pitchers. So we had done it before. We had done it the year before with a great right-handed pitcher named Jordan Zimmerman, who turned out to be a terrific major league pitcher for a long time. So that was our blueprint. That's the way we handled our post Tommy John pitchers. And Strauss was near and dear to our heart. He was he's an extraordinary pitcher. What we wanted to do with our protocol was take care of the player. We got beat up for it quite a bit because of the timing of it. But I think that what it did prove, if nothing else, that we cared about our players we cared greatly about Strauss and I think that his arm recovered in the right way and I think that his long-term viability has been great. So we feel good about it. Like I've said from the beginning, it was done for all the right reasons and all the right intentions, and I sleep like a baby then, and I still sleep like a baby now knowing how it came out.
And he's able to lift that World Series trophy with no pain.
No pain.
Great decision.
Nope.
And an MVP trophy, too.
Absolutely.
So that was great.
We're talking to Mike Rizzo. He's the general manager of the Washington Nationals, the world champion Washington Nationals. Okay, this offseason, you did re-sign Strasburg. Congratulations. You've added Will Harris. What does he add to that team?
Well, it's a good, consistent, championship caliber relief pitcher.
Yep.
One of the really great relievers over the last 5 years. He's got a great track record. He's done great things for a long period of time. And five consecutive years of peak performance for a reliever is a long time. So we think that we've got ourselves a great back end of the bullpen this year. Sean Doolittle is as good as it gets,
yep.
in the back. Daniel Hudson, we re-signed, who was our World Series hero. He'll be a fortifying force back there, along with Will Harris and a couple of our good young arms and Tanner Rainey, Will, and Suero, Strickland, and those type of guys. We feel that we've got the makings of a good, deep, and talented bullpen.
So with all that good news, Mike, you do have a bit of a bummer news in losing Anthony Rendon to the Angels with a big fat 7-year contract. How do you, you drafted him in 2011 and you were really responsible for the development of who he is now. How do you and can you replace losing someone like an Anthony Rendon?
Well, you know, Anthony Rendon was so special for us, not only in that lineup. You know, he's a great player, great defender, great offensive player. But what he brings into clubhouse and in the community, it's hard to replicate that with another player. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to win in a different manner. We're going to obviously give some of our young our good young prospects a chance. We think we've got great depth at that position with Asdrubal Cabrera. We signed Starling Castro. We've got our young Kara Keboom that's going to get an opportunity to play there. We've got Howie Kendrick who's played third base a lot before. So we've got options. We've got Davey Martinez who's you know, in my opinion, was the manager of the year last year. He's got a lot of great options and a lot of great ways that he can construct this lineup. And I think that we're going to have to score runs in a different manner because Tony drove in a whole lot of runs for us last year. But we think we've got a really good, talented, deep group of guys that should play meaningful games in September and October.
Well, you're right. He was an extraordinary manager, Martinez, last season.
Yes.
We're broadcasting out of Houston normally, and the Astros appear to be on the cusp of hiring Dusty Baker, a guy you know. What do you think he brings to the Astros?
Well, if that's true, which I hope it is, you know, Dusty will bring a swagger to that clubhouse. He's a player's manager that really has the back of his players, and he is a team first guy. So he's one of the characters of the game. He knows the game inside and out, and players just gravitate towards him.
On the topic of the Astros, were you surprised by all that's just taken place in the
sign
report
scandal
and the revelations about the sign stealing?
Well, you know, it's, you know, as it came out, and there's an investigation still going on, so I'm not going to comment on that. You know, in 2017, what I want to focus on is I don't want to take it any gleam or spotlight away from the 2019 World Champion Washington Nationals. We're a team of character, of an integrity, and we came through trials and tribulations to win this World Series, and that's what I'm focusing on. And once that's passed, we're going to focus on 2020 and trying to repeat.
Now, you are here to talk about a little Budweiser.
Definitely.
What do you want to say about Budweiser?
Well, you know, we're honored to be in the Super Bowl ad of Budweiser. Winning the World Series and the celebration that took part in that, I think that when you see the commercial, it's going to epitomize that. These are typical Americans, typical American players playing a typical American game. Drinking Budweiser, a typical American beer. It just shows what you can do when you stick to things and it just shows the kind of the mantra of typical Americans where when things are at their worst, Americans are at their best. And I think that this commercial really shows that. And it's, like I said, typical Americans doing atypical things.
Fantastic.
With America's favorite pastime. Let's keep it that way.
Keep
right?
it that way for sure.
And I love what you brought up, Mike. It's like, you know what? All the craziness that has gone down in the last couple of weeks, let's not forget that your World Series title needs to be celebrated. And what you've done not only for the DMV area, but really the first franchise World Series title, that should be celebrated. Let's put that above this other junk and move on, right?
That's what I'm doing.
All
congratulations.
Right. We're
thanks
trying
for being
to
with
Houston,
us.
Too, believe me.
Thank you very much.
That's Mike Rizzo, General Manager of the Washington Nationals. We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day. Well, it was great to talk to Mike Rizzo, and what a season they had.
What a class act he is.
Game 7 victory over the Astros in the World Series.
At Minute Maid Park.
Yeah, they won the final two games there in Houston. So that was an exceptional team. And really, as he pointed out, you don't want to take any credit away from that team, even in the midst of all the sign-stealing scandal, which obviously the Nationals were not part of that dialogue. So this is a team that's pretty pristine and deserves all the credit due for a World Series championship.
I think losing Anthony Rendon to the Angels is going to hurt. And he acknowledged that they're going to have to win in a different way. I mean,
amazingly, they did lose Bryce Harper the year before. You look at those are two big name talent guys. Now Harper didn't go on to do very much, but those are two guys.
No, but he did predict their World Series win.
Yes.
So that was the best thing that could have happened to
them.
That's
right.
I think that was his parting gift to the Nationals, predicting that he will bring in Philly a World Series to Washington.
To Washington.
And he sure did.
And he did.
Is that just the best kiss?
Well, congrats to them. And interestingly, he really didn't have much to say about sign stealing. I guess we're at a point now where all of MLB is sort of on a lockdown in terms of communication. They want the full findings to come out. I read an interesting article in the Boston Globe by Dan Shaughnessy, who's one of their best writers, and he's noted that really across the Red Sox organization, in all of his conversations with players and general management at the Red Sox, there's a strange sense of confidence in Boston that the Red Sox are going to come out of this cleanly. And that's sort of hard to imagine when you see the Alex Cora tie between both the Astros and the Red Sox. I think the conventional wisdom is the Red Sox are going to get handed a big penalty because they, too, were participating in their year.
But we already know they were. They were reprimanded in the 2018 postseason.
Yes, a different season, yes.
For their Apple Watch.
The Apple Watch.
And but, that's the year they won the World Series.
But that's history. The question is now, in light of the Alex Cora arrival in Boston and the year they now won in 2018, that championship.
Well, that's the year they were cited for the Apple Watch.
Were they doing the same things under Alex Cora in the year of their championship? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think if Major League Baseball really wanted to find, they could go to every single team, almost every single team, and find something. They do not want this narrative to continue.
Right.
I think the buck stops with the Astros, and
you make an example of one or two teams, perhaps, and then you just close the door. You've sent the message to the whole league that this should not happen again, and hopefully move forward without a lot of bad PR.
And I think that's obvious when you had former White Sox pitcher Jack McDowell come out very detailed in how Tony La Russa was doing that in the late 80s, early 90s, stealing signs, and exactly how he did it and where he placed it. And it just kind of fizzled off because Major League Baseball didn't want this anymore.
Right.
You know, they have, you know, the S's just kill them. They had the steroid era. Then they had strikes and now sign stealing. Like they want this. They want this done.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be behind us shortly. So what I was noting before Mike came to the set was just how it feels like this time when we come to Radio Row, there hasn't been already a week of storylines unveiled to the world about the Super Bowl,
strange.
In large part because of the coverage of Kobe Bryant, and rightly so with his tragedy. But now this week feels all the more ripe, and there's so many great storylines coming into this game. The one that I'm most excited about, really, is the story of the two head coaches.
I know.
Love the story of the two head coaches. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has his own demon he has to wrestle with, which is being the offensive coordinator of the Falcons and losing that 28-3 lead over the Patriots.
It was the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. They had a 28-3 lead in the third quarter.
And he was second guest and third guest and quadruple guest for why didn't he run the ball more? Why didn't he run out the clock? I mean, when they had the ball in field goal range at the 20-yard line late in the game and a chance to go up by two scores, why couldn't they have at least come away with a field goal? Instead, they went backward and got shoved out of field goal range. That has to haunt Kyle Shanahan.
Sure. He's widely criticized and, frankly, blamed for that loss.
Yeah. There were even whispers that undermined his ability to become a head coach as a candidate, to become a head coach, that a team wouldn't want to hire him because he executed so poorly in that game. Yet, the 49ers hired him, and it sure has proven to be a good decision. That duo of Lynch and Shanahan have really architected a great team.
Oh, they have done it unbelievably so. Their defensive line has 5 first-round draft picks on it, and number 2 defense in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, they have done it methodically, slowly. I mean, when you think about it, and, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So Kyle Shanahan came back, and he is not – I don't think we're going to see a fourth-quarter collapse in this play calling like we did in that Super Bowl. But you look at last year, they're sitting at 4-12, and they were aggressive, bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo out of New England. He tears an ACL. They end the season 4-12, and now they're the number one record in the NFL heading to a Super Bowl.
Well, you say that you don't think they'll collapse it with a 28-3 lead. I don't think they will either. But if they do, it won't be because he's afraid to run the ball.
That's right.
This is a
That's
team
right.
that loves to run the ball. I mean, the most notable thing about that team is that, well, they only passed it, what, 8 times last week, and 6 completions for Jimmy Garoppolo.
And only twice in the second half.
It's just ridiculous how rarely they passed the ball, how rarely they needed to pass the ball, how well they ran the ball.
I mean, I think it's situational, honestly.
Yeah.
And he is smart enough to go back to the basic precepts of, if it's working, keep it going.
Right.
Bill O'Brien, I hope you're listening. If it's working, keep it going. I mean, what Mostert had a career day.
Right.
220 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, it was unbelievable, and it was working. Green Bay had no answer. They knew it was coming because he kept coming, and they had no answer for it.
So what I credit for him for there is I think if you're an offensive coach, you want to open up your playbook. You want to show your creativity. You want to show the full range of what you're able to do and call. And he didn't have that kind
do
of an ego. He didn't have that need.
Right.
He saw, I can just continue to run the ball and it will be effective. I don't need to show the breadth of what I've got. And I give him a lot of credit for that. Now on the other side, Andy Reid is one of the great stories coming to this game because his track record, his success in the league is over-the-top exceptional. I mean, he ranks up there with the winningest coaches in the history of the NFL. He's up there with Shula
and
his Hollis.
221st career victory. That's that 6th all-time. And, yeah, tell who that's
Well,
behind.
He's got Shula and Hollis and Belichick, Landry, and Lambeau. Look at those names.
All of them have won Super Bowls except for Andy Reid.
Yeah, those 5 guys have won more games, and they won Super Bowls, but he's right in the mix with those names. And, of course, Belichick, who's a good friend of his, has won 6 Super Bowls while Reid has not yet gotten one.
And Reid went to the Super Bowl to be beat by the Patriots.
Right.
His good friend Belichick.
In that Donovan McNabb game.
Yep. Yep,
and there were issues in that game. Remember the clock management down the stretch when the Eagles were moving the ball late to try to tie it? Donovan McNabb kneeling over, breathing, and the long cycles in the huddle. They didn't fare well in the fourth quarter there. So there are some demons for Andy Reid to exercise this week. And I really think around the league, he's got a lot of respect and a lot of regard and affection among other players and coaches. I think there's a little bit of a sentiment that they love to see Reid get his chance.
Because he's at 61 years old. Kyle Shanahan's 40. There'll be many chances. I think this is the sentiment. Many chances for Shanahan to get back here. Reid's window is probably closing.
Right.
His coaching career.
Reid.
Not anytime soon. But.
Well, I mean, I thought Reid was a great coach for the Eagles, and they got close. It is interesting to look back how the Eagles let him go.
I mean,
he was fired from the Eagles.
Yeah, he was.
And now he has surfaced again and really put all the pieces together. He's got a great staff, too. I mean, Bieniemy was considered, his offensive coordinator was on the short list to be a head coach. He's got a great staff, and when you look at the team they've assembled, certainly on the offensive side of the ball, they are doing things with Patrick Mahomes that really few NFL offenses have been able to achieve.
Well, and you look at what Reid has, more regular season wins, 207, more playoff wins, 14, postseason appearances at 15, than any other coach who has not won a Super Bowl. His time is here.
Perhaps his time is here. He's a man of simple pleasures. What I loved, and we noted after he won the AFC Championship game, he was asked, what are you going to do to celebrate?
He said, cheeseburgers.
I'm going to go home and have a big cheeseburger. Love that, right? And I hope he does.
Him.
I think that's what he'll do if he wins this big game. But he is the guy, I think, when you look at the total package of coaches, he is up there in that top echelon, and so we give him due credit. The only Achilles heel for the team over the season has been the defense, and they apparently have gotten that defense back in order. So when you look at what they
did based on the last 3 games, you also need to take a look at their opponents.
They did a good job of shutting down Derrick Henry, though, who
they did.
For a certain window of time seemed to be the unstoppable force. And now they'll face a team that doesn't have a Derrick Henry in the backfield, but a great running scheme
great
with the
combo.
49ers. Right. All right, when we come back, we have a chance to visit with Busy Phillips. She's the renowned actress on Dawson Creek and other shows, and we'll visit with Busy about why she's here at the Super Bowl. And we'll continue all our coverage here on Radio Row. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We are live on Radio Row, where all is well. And in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Busy Phillips. And she is the great actress on Freaks and Geeks, Dawson's Creek, ER, and a show close to home for you, Jose, a show called Cougar Town. And I do believe you've had a tough history with cougars, have you not?
Yes, sure, I've had a tough history.
This is a tell-all.
It's a tell-all.
First it's manscaping, now it's cougars.
I've had to hide from a lot of women out here in Miami.
Well, these things work together, manscaping and cougars. At least for Jose, they do.
Oh, wow. No.
Okay, I am learning a lot. Day one here on Radio Row.
This is a side of me I didn't want Carla to know about.
It's now been outed.
I'm going to just close my ears, Jose. I know
the
nothing.
The Gloss thought I was an angel, nothing. Mr.
That's
Gow.
Right.
Now she doesn't.
Thanks for messing
now
it up, boss.
Now she knows the truth.
Well, the Gloss is usually an angel, although every now and then the Gloss gets very animated. Smoke comes out of her ears. She gets very feisty. And that happened this morning with the news that the Texans have found a new general manager. And it is the great Bill O'Brien.
Surprise!
Head coach, elevated to general manager title, also offensive coordinator, now I guess capologist. He is the jack of all trades for the Texans.
Not happy.
It is an amazing decision because when you look across the NFL, and you look at the winning organizational models, or you look at the two teams that are in the Super Bowl now, to have one guy who is in charge of all things football, as Bill O'Brien is with the Texans, is a huge leap of faith that this is a better model than what everyone else is winning with across the NFL.
Well, and especially when you look at the results. Yes, the Texans won the AFC South again. Yes, they did win their wild card game against the Buffalo Bills. But if you're really a football mind and you're looking into things, and I'm speaking to the Texans brass, that overtime game with the Bills never should have gone into overtime. That was poor play calling. They switched the momentum. It was bad clock management. Never should have been an overtime game.
Yeah.
Never should have started out 16-0. You didn't have your guys ready to play. So I am dumbfounded at how Bill O'Brien continues to get rewarded for
mediocrity.
Barely making for not letting himself get in the way. But he did let himself get in the way against Kansas City. You're up 24-0 against the Chiefs and Arrowhead in the first quarter.
Right.
And you lose 51. You allow them to put 51 points on you.
Right.
Wow. He allowed a serious momentum shift on that 4th-and-1 call. That was pre-fake punt. It just was, I don't know. I just have a problem with all of this.
So you can break it down into two different questions. What's the best organizational model to win with in the NFL?
Right.
And I think they're making a mistake by giving one man all the power.
Exactly.
And then the second question is, if you're going to go with that model, where one man has all the power, is he the right guy to give the reins to? And I think the answer is no on that. So very, very curious decision on behalf of the Texans. I mean, they are a team now. Well, yes, they beat the Bills. They hung their hat on a playoff victory over the Bills. They barely beat the Bills.
And it was Deshaun Watson's magician. Like quality.
Yeah, his Houdini act saved the team.
Goodness.
And then when you project forward, of course, the Texans don't have draft picks. They've traded them away to pick up Laramie Tunsil, and it was good to get Kenny Still as well, who was a great addition to the team.
Oh, yeah, he's a fantastic addition.
But they don't have draft picks, and the Bills will have picks. So when you just think about projection next four, the one thing the Texans do have, it seems at this moment, is a fair amount of cap space. So they
about
can
$60 million.
Use that to go out and try to acquire some additional pieces. They certainly need some help in the defensive secondary. Well, with J.J. Watt's health issues, you'd love
and
to shore up your front seven. And he's older. You'd want to get stronger in the front seven. Texans need to shore up that
and
defensive
front. And in the secondary. Mm-hmm. The secondary is beat up, and they definitely
Well, when you saw what the Chiefs were able to do, particularly in the second half, you have to look at the defensive side of the ball. They have replaced Romeo Crennel as defensive coordinator.
Anthony Weaver.
So they made some changes. Right. Anthony Weaver is now in at defensive coordinator. And now stepping in with us, a real treat. This is the one we've been waiting for.
Hi. How you doing?
We have Busy Phillips. Of course, she is on. Have been on Freaks and Geeks, Dawson's Creek, and Jose's favorite, Cougar Town.
Love a Cougar Town moment.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. This is exciting to me because this is, you guys
it's
are like.
It's your debut ad, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. It's really exciting. A Super Bowl ad is like the Super Bowl of being an actor.
Well,
you're right, you know? Actually.
Like, it's like once you got a Super Bowl ad as yourself, you know you've made it.
You'll never have more viewers again in your life, right?
No, no. Oh, my gosh, no.
So we've got Busy thrilling. Phillips here, and I'm going to say this, that poor Carla has had to listen to us talking about another product, Manscaped,
oh, yeah.
for a
I'm
long
so
time.
Glad you're here,
and she's not that
I'm
interested
so
in Manscaped. She wants to hear a little bit about Olay. This is more in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, I would like to have your skin.
Thank
beautiful
you.
Girl. Wow.
Thank you so much. I turned 40 last year.
You did
year.
Not.
I did, and I'm keeping the skin dewy and bouncy with my Olay Regenerist Whip.
You look great.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I don't inject anything into my face. I don't do anything other than use my creams. Sun care is so important. That's the big thing.
That
and for men, too, by the way. Can I just say this? The amount of sunscreen that I have now put on my husband, I feel like men don't think about that on a daily basis. Every morning, guys. Every morning.
All right.
Put it on.
Because you can get it through the car window.
I mean, for sure. I mean, and have you ever seen, like, those people who have, their left arm is, like, very, very tan and covered in freckles? Sun care is self-care. That's a message that Olay puts out there, and it's one that I love.
Does Olay have something for men, then, for me?
Yeah, you can use Olay. You can use the sun care. It's
okay.
Really great, and it's for every gender.
My husband uses it.
Really?
Yes, he does. He's an Olay fan.
It's fantastic, yeah. My husband always – well, we know this. Men steal women's skincare products, always.
Yeah, but we don't talk about it.
Okay, well, I'm talking about
it. I'm not going to come out of the closet that way.
I'm
call you all out.
About it. I'm talking about it. But, yeah, so hopefully – hopefully we can get a lot of men and women excited at the Super Bowl when the ad comes on.
Okay, well, Busy, you are the mother of two daughters.
Yes.
So between us, we have five girls.
Wow.
So talk about girl power. I mean, you must encourage your girls with all that you're doing, and they're going to be sitting there on Sunday and watching their mom.
So exciting.
In this cool ad. Tell us
about
it.
Well, listen, I think one of the things that's most important for everyone is to be able to see themselves reflected back accurately in media. And, you know, we can talk a big game about representation and about equality and being a feminist, or, you know, men being supporting women and being feminists themselves. But unless you model it in your everyday life, unless you see it in the media that you consume, that message isn't going to do anything for any of us, which is why I'm really proud to be a part of this Olay campaign. Look, we know half of the, you know, fans of the NFL are women. 51% of NFL fans are women. And yet on Super Bowl Sunday, women are only accounted for in 28% of the commercials that we're going to see. That doesn't seem right. And
right.
What message does that send to all the young women out there who, you know, I mean, look, like, we want more, you know, women in sports is a huge thing. And
it's getting bigger.
It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we all need to stand up for pay equality and for parity across all industries. But
no, I agree.
Olay is doing an incredible campaign this year. And anyone that uses the hashtag #MakeSpaceForWomen, Olay will donate $1 to an organization called Girls Who Code. And that's just encouraging more women in, you know, science,
male-dominated fields.
And one of the fields that has been a little bit slower to be able to incorporate more women in their industry. So we want to help with that as well.
Well, I love that, and you're
Thanks.
A great mom and role model for your girls.
Listen,
and
we try.
Other girls. It's great.
We all try. We're doing our best, you know? How old are your girls?
They are, they're practically your age. 21, 24, and 26.
That's not practically my age, but that's incredible.
Independent.
I'm
good.
I was not like a little girl that grew up playing sports or being involved in sports, but I really have tried to encourage my girls to figure out what they enjoy. We're a basketball family. We have season tickets.
Yes. So are you a Laker fan?
We are. We've had, my husband has had season tickets for 20 years. Yeah. To the Lakers. And it's been a really hard week.
It's been a tough week, and for the whole city, right?
Yeah. It's been, I'm going to cry. It's been really intense. And it's interesting too, because I think for my daughter, who's almost 12, that has been really difficult for her. And I know a lot of the kids at school. And
yeah, that ripple effect is far-reaching.
It really is, you know, And I mean, I'm at a loss for words. I really am at a loss for words, but we love our Lakers. We really do.
I know. And you know what? I think this is just not that they needed any encouragement to keep on the success that they've got, but LeBron put that on his back. He's going to do this for LA in honor of Kobe. And you know what? This guy is probably going to do it for you. So I think you're going to be pretty happy.
I think so too. Yeah. My husband's going on Friday to the game, and I said, you take your friend. Like I go to like probably 5 or 6 games a year, and Mark takes the rest and like takes his friends, you know, or whatever. So he's taking a buddy, and I was like, you guys go and have that moment on Friday together.
Yeah, I love that.
It's really intense.
Who's your pick for Sunday? I know you're a football fan too.
I gotta go San Francisco.
I'm San Francisco too. I'm all there with you, busy.
Although my tennis pro is from Kansas City, and he's going to kill me. Oh. I have to buy so much merch while I'm here, guys. I got to bring stuff back for my tennis pro, my friends. Everybody wants gear, and I'm going to show up to the Super Bowl party like arms full of gifts for everyone on
Sunday. Would you bring me some of your Olay products? Because if I can leave here looking
like
busy,
I'm a giver Olay.
You know, her on-air name is The Gloss.
Really?
I'm going to be glossier now, thanks to Busy.
She's stepping up her
Come
glossy
Come see me tomorrow
game.
After I use this tonight.
I love it. I really do love it. I love the products.
Your skin is flawless.
Thank you.
You're really amazing.
Thanks so much. I know. Listen, I'm also, you know, people really follow me on Instagram. They love me on Instagram. And I'm a big believer. I don't do, like, the face tuning or that other stuff, you know, like photoshopping, all that stuff. Because they're just, I'm like, this is
you
who
don't
I
need
am.
It. I'm looking at you. Mano a mano, you look amazing.
Thank you. But it's also just about, again, that idea of like representation. Like I want people to know that this is real, man. This is like what we look like. Yeah. It's great, in fact.
I wish my reel was yours, but we're gonna work towards that.
Your reel is beautiful now. Your reel is
there it is.
Thank you. Busy, this is awesome.
That's Busy Phillips, a wonderful actress. Thank you so much for joining us.
Can't wait to see your
My husband loves SB Nation. It's always on the car when we get in.
Oh, tell awesome. Mark, thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Great to
Good
be with you.
Good luck to you.
Thank
see you,
you.
Soon.
Yeah.
Thanks for the product.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We are live at Radio Row, The Boss and the Gloss. And before, we got a chance to visit with Busy Phillips, and
she was a bundle of energy.
She brings some energy to this whole set here.
That skin. I'm not kidding. I'm not repping any product. And that woman, I want what she's having.
She shines.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love her energy, super positive energy. And, wow, you really saw what an L.A. resident and, you know, Laker fan, wow, she could barely talk about Kobe.
Yeah, minute his name came up. And you asked about her going to the games. She teared up.
It was a
very emotional thing for her and obviously for a lot of fans across the country, but particularly in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of this obsession with him and the sadness over this tragedy, we watched him grow up. He came out of Lower Merion.
He was so young.
High school in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Yes, he was 18. I mean, we watched him grow up through the sport, as a man, as a single guy, as a husband, as a father. I mean, we've seen the whole, and, you know, now, I was just recently, the day before he passed away, reading about Act Two, basically, for Kobe with his film company and being an author and, that, you know, wow, life cut too short.
Well, and Act Two was a lot of time with his kids, and I think that resonated with Busy. She's raising young daughters.
Yeah.
Trying to raise them in a world where they feel encouraged to play sports, and that was a big part of Kobe's fatherhood is to get his girls involved, particularly in basketball, where he had his own passion.
The interesting thing was that Gia, the one that passed away as well with her father, she's the one that brought him back into the sport. He actually, when he retired in 2016, was kind of ready to do other things. And her passion, just asking her dad about basketball and her passion for it, really brought him back into the fold, which was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I saw a video of him talking to his daughter about what was going on the court, giving his observations on the game of basketball. And wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall and just hear what Kobe would be telling his daughter about basketball and how things were taking place on the court?
It would be pretty sweet.
Well, Busy Phillips looks great. She is an actress in a number of shows, not the least of which is Cougar Town. And I did note you, Jose, of all people,
was really getting a picture
well,
with her.
I was. Up a little bit. He popped up.
I was. Was I the color of my pink shirt?
You handled it very well,
Jose. I did.
It's all that manscaping. It did you well.
I don't. No comment.
Oh, yes.
No comment. I plead
That's
the fifth.
That's my word of the day, manscaping.
Manscaping.
I'm going
it
to learn.
Works.
We should get Carla to do the reads for us, Mr. Gal.
You
somehow I don't think I would be really effective with manscaping reads,
no.
But I'm willing
don't
to try
sell
anything.
Yourself
I don't,
short.
The reason I want to see it because I don't think she could get through it without laughing.
I think you're right.
Well, as far as I know about manscaping, it's something that could work for a woman as well.
Okay, well now we'll switch on to another topic.
All right, we'll move right along. We are going to take a break here at the top of hour. We will be back here on Radio Row. We've got an exciting second hour coming up. We're going to interview Jay Glazer of Fox Sports.
My former Trojan, Carson Palmer.
And Carson Palmer's coming in. And we're going to have Dr. Jen Welter. She was the first female head coach, or not head coach, but the first female coach in the NFL. SB Nation Radio.